It's Podville,
the family-friendly variety show.
I'm your host, Corbin.
And I'm your hostess, Julie.
Every other Friday, we and our four kids bring you a show packed with
silly games,
outrageous vintage ads,
wild stories,
and catchy original songs. Find us at podville.com.
That's PAUDEVILLE.com. Or subscribe wherever fine pods are casted.
Are you ready for me to stop talking?
Always.
The folklore in Kid Cryptid wouldn't exist if it weren't for the rich history and vibrant cultures these stories come from. While we do our best to provide accurate information, we recognize that we are, at best, amateurs here. This podcast is best considered for entertainment purposes only, and it comes from a place of love and respect for the peoples behind the lore. Now, on with the show.
I'm Sean.
I'm Elias.
And you are listening to Kid Cryptid, the podcast where we run away from the slowly shuffling, brain-hungry creatures known as cryptids. How's it going, Elias?
Good.
I'm going to take a guess that you can figure out this week's cryptid from the description.
Zombie.
Huh?
Zombie.
Yeah, so go ahead and tell me what you know about zombies.
Well, what I know, for one thing, is a bunch of people that think that zombies want to eat your brains. But sometimes zombies actually want to just kill you. They also sometimes have pale skin. They're usually known for groaning a lot. And they usually sometimes try to attack you, usually when you don't do anything to them.
How does someone become a zombie?
Either you get bitten by it or the virus spreads.
So it's a virus.
It can be.
Okay. What if I told you that's really all modern stuff involving zombies?
I know that.
The original story is less flesh-eating and a lot sadder. With that in mind, I want to point out that this next bit gets pretty grim, and it's okay to fast-forward a bit if it gets to be too much.
Yeah.
In the 17th century, Haiti was a French colony. At this point in time, the slave trade was well underway, and Haiti was a major destination for forced labor from Africa. It was also extremely brutal. While slavery in general was cruel and backbreaking, being a slave in Haiti was especially bad. Most slaves were worked to death over the course of a couple years, creating a constant market for new slaves to be captured and shipped to the island. Out of all of this suffering, a belief grew amongst the slaves that death would release them to an afterlife that was much like Guinea, or Africa. It was a faint bit of hope in an otherwise hopeless circumstance. However, because things were so awful, it was very common for slaves to take their own lives rather than be constantly abused, beaten, and worn down. It was believed that these unfortunate souls would not be granted the peace of that longed-for afterlife. Instead, they would be doomed to roam the earth as a creature neither living nor dead. A zombie.
I was thinking you were going to say they would get their revenge.
No, actually it was worse than that. They wound up unliving, kind of as a slave forever, trapped in their bodies with their soul unable to go anywhere.
So they survived forever?
As a mindless zombie, yeah.
And they did all the dirty work for someone?
Yeah. So it was a fate even worse than death. Eventually, in the 19th century, French colonization in Haiti came to an end, and the folklore involving zombies began to change. Gradually, they got incorporated into the voodoo religion that had come from West Africa during the slave trade. Rather than being the result of one's own actions, it came to be believed that zombies were the result of a shaman or a sorcerer using necromancy to raise and control the dead. The sorcerers would use the zombies as slaves to do their bidding, either as labor or to carry out crimes. So even though slavery was over, the concept of zombies was still tied to it.
Okay, so when I heard voodoo, I was like, do you mean as in voodoo control or as voodoo bring back to life?
Well, the voodoo shaman would bring them back and then have control over them.
Okay.
And usually whatever they were using the zombie to do was not good.
Usually? I mean, I can't blame you, because they're just mindless zombies.
Yeah, but it's not so good to disturb somebody after they've died. I mean, let them rest.
Rest in peace.
So how did zombies become what they are today? For that, we can thank George Romero and his 1968 film Night of the Living Dead. These zombies were a world away from the ones in Haiti. They didn't involve voodoo or slavery, but rather, as Romero put it, what if the dead don't stay dead? There's other symbolism involved as well, and it's still debated what, if anything, the film and the zombies represent. The main thing to take away, though, is that the image and concept of zombies was forever changed. This is where the mindless, lumbering killing machines come from. Just masses of zombies roaming around a wasted earth while a few survivors desperately try to make the best of their situation.
So sort of like Left 4 Dead.
That's the kind of zombies that we know today, yes. Largely because of Night of the Living Dead.
So it was basically there were these survivors, and there was an abandoned place with a bunch of zombies, and they had to get through all the zombies.
So Night of the Living Dead is a little different than that. You know, I haven't actually seen the movie in a really long time, so I don't remember how the zombies get started. But they wind up trapping people in a farmhouse, and the people try to make a last stand there.
Hmm. I mean, in Left 4 Dead, they get an infection, and they start the population for everybody else except some four survivors.
And that's a really popular trope today. Mm-hmm. And of course, from the original Night of the Living Dead, things only grew. We've seen slow zombies, fast zombies, friendly zombies, funny zombies, zombie animals, talking zombies, and the list goes on. The symbolism and metaphor that they originated from in Haiti is all but forgotten. Instead, they've become an icon of entertainment. Now, before you think this is all just fiction, there are stories involving zombies in actual medical journals. In 1997, an article was published in one such journal that detailed the case of a woman who apparently died and was buried in a tomb. 3 years later, though, she reappeared. An investigation found her tomb full of rocks. She was later admitted to a psychiatric hospital.
Psyche, as in psycho?
They treated her like she was crazy, yes. But that doesn't change the fact that she was buried and came back.
That is just weird.
In another case from 1962, a man began suffering breathing problems. Shortly after arriving at the hospital, he slipped into a coma and was eventually pronounced dead. He was, of course, buried. 18 years later, however, he returned to his hometown, where people, including his sister, identified him as the one who had died all those years before. Those same people saw him buried. He claimed that he had been buried alive, dug up, and forced to work on a sugar plantation for years.
What?
Yeah, everybody saw him put in the ground, and then 18 years later, he came walking back into town.
So basically, what happened is, somebody buried him alive, and then he was basically like, I want to get my revenge, and I'm coming back out, and he... And 18 years later, boom, he's back. And everybody's like, what? Huh?
Well, everybody was shocked for sure. But there really wasn't much revenge. As far as I know, he just wound up living out his life like normal.
Wait, so he died again?
You know what? I don't know if he actually did. He might still be alive. It was 1962. He could still be kicking.
Are you telling me that he might be still alive now?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think anybody has actually lived that long. Unless they're a zombie and they can live forever.
1962 wasn't that long ago.
I know, but still. That was like probably more than 100 years ago.
No. It would actually make... Well, he'd probably be about Grandpa's age.
As in... Are you talking about my grandpa?
Yeah. Not mine, yours.
Your dad?
Yep.
Seriously?
Yeah, he would probably be about the same age.
Oh my gosh. Whoa.
So what do you think happened there?
People were like, how did this happen?
Well, do you think that they were really buried alive, or were the bodies switched at the funeral, or what do you think happened?
Maybe, I think what happened is that they had maybe a brother, and they looked like each other. So then one died the day before, like they were twins.
So you're going with the long-lost twin theory.
Yeah.
Okay. I had not considered that twist, but go on.
And the other woman was probably, maybe had a sister, but a little younger maybe, like about 3 years younger. And she looked like her and returned.
I think her parents would have caught on to that.
Seriously?
Yeah.
This is just... It's weird,
It's pretty wild, I agree.
Like, the only thing that I know about zombies are mutation, disease, or other stuff.
Yeah, but now you know where they really came from.
Yeah.
Out of tales told during slavery.
Yeah.
Not a very happy place, huh?
Mm-mm. Like, I do not like slavery, so... I'm really mad. Like, I'm really mad that they got beaten to death and they were put on an island and they came back. But I'm not mad for them coming back. I'm just mad that they tortured them, like, to death.
Yeah, I hear you. So what if I told you, though, there's also some science behind the voodoo?
Oh, really?
You should be into that. You like science.
I actually love science.
The so-called zombie powders that are used to make zombies often include a toxin from blowfish. This can be very deadly. However, in small doses, it can cause difficulty walking, confusion, and breathing problems. In higher amounts, it can cause a coma and paralysis. All of these things could lead to someone appearing to be undead, or to appear to come back from the dead. So while they may not create a zombie in the sense that most picture, it's still interesting to note.
Well, what I was thinking is that they would use that powder, and then they would let them starve, and they would give them no choice but to eat, something that was, maybe something from a dead body, rotten flesh or something. And then they would turn into a zombie.
Eating rotten flesh, huh?
Yeah, because you know how we talked about the Wendigo and how they are cannibals?
Yeah.
Zombies can sometimes be cannibals.
Well, I would argue that really they're always cannibals.
Sometimes they just want to kill you.
I thought they were all about eating.
Well, Left 4 Dead, they actually don't eat you. They just pound you to death.
Yeah, I think Left 4 Dead might be a little above most of our listenership as far as what they kind of get to play.
Yeah, I know.
It's not a very kid-friendly game. Again, I am a horrible parent.
It's not a kid-friendly game.
So, there you have it. This is our crash course on zombies. What do you think?
Life lesson. If you ever think that somebody has used voodoo to make a zombie, don't think that. Think it's science.
So, question. What separates Frankenstein's monster from being a zombie?
What I would say is that zombies are a little shorter than Frankenstein. Frankenstein, I'm pretty sure, was actually... Frankenstein's monster was actually a man, but he had to use lightning to bring him back to life.
Oh, so you're saying because they used lightning instead of zombie powder, it makes it different.
Yeah. So the lightning usually shocks them to life, but for zombies, you can actually have a disease, you can have a mutation, or you can have something else.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that seems fair, and I think that's going to wrap us up. Unless, of course, you have anything else.
One thing is, do not make zombie powder. Because if you add too much, you might get a coma.
Well, I guess it's a good thing I didn't tell people how to make zombie powder, huh?
You technically sort of did.
I gave one ingredient.
Okay, yeah, but...
And how many people have access to blowfish?
Probably not a bunch in this country.
Well, based on what I know from our listenership, most of them come from the U.S. So a blowfish toxin is going to be a little hard to come by.
I mean, we do live by rivers, but we do not live by oceans.
Anyway, I'm Sean.
I'm Elias.
And you have been listening to Kid Cryptid. Until next time.
Hello, friends. Jonah here from Quest Company Jr., popping in to say that the show that you've just been listening to is part of the Podicon Go podcasting network, a group of independent creators committed to creating, distributing, and supporting content that's family-friendly and fun for all ages. If you enjoy this show, be sure to subscribe on your preferred podcasting platform and show some love with a 5-star rating and review. Every time you do, you are helping support the creation of more family-friendly content. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.